Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson. Hi, Katie.
Hi, how are you, Keith?
I'm fine, and how are you?
I'm doing well.
Did you have a lovely weekend?
I did have a nice weekend. It was a little bit of a somber weekend with what happened in Paris on Friday. We hit that pretty hard on the website since it was at a concert for Eagles of Death Metal. And so my Friday was a little different than I expected it to be. I was going to go see Coldplay, but they canceled their Tidal live stream.
Right.
They did put on a really nice little acoustic set, though, and dedicated Imagine by John Lennon to the Paris attack. So, yep. And so, yeah. But, I mean, otherwise, a very lovely weekend.
Yes. We won't be talking much about the terrorist attacks in Paris. We're going to try to keep things light
and poppy,
light and poppy, because it is the Pop Shop Podcast. Mm-hmm. On this week's show, we have an interview with Tori Kelly. We talked to her a few weeks ago, and we played a fun little 15 question game with Tori, and she was lovely. She admired my shoes. You'll hear all about that. And we talked about music too, but she also talked about my shoes. Also, we're going to talk about Justin Bieber versus One Direction for number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart next week. Who will it be? I think you might already have a guess if you've been looking at Billboard.com, but we'll get to that in a moment. Adele is still number one on the Billboard Hot 100 with Hello. while Elle King gets her first top 10 hit.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. Plus, I'm super stoked. The Dixie Chicks are going on their first American tour in like 10 years or something ridiculous.
Keith and I will be there.
Yes. we'll talk more about that. But first, some housekeeping notes. If you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode. And give us a rating while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, feel free to tweet me at Keith_Caulfield or at KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. Billboard Podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was that. Oh, yeah. Makes me think of something. Tangent alert. This is not on our script. Oh, yeah.
Is it going to be about the Kool-Aid Man?
It is.
It has to be about the Kool-Aid Man.
Oh, yeah. the Kool-Aid Man, the voice of the Kool-Aid Man, I believe in the 80s was, I think his name is Frank Mills. I can Google that. But Frank, did you know he was also a background singer?
Did not know that.
He also sang a lot of jingles for many different commercials, but he's mostly known as the Kool-Aid Man.
I feel like they need to do a 20 Feet from Stardom sequel now starring Kool-Aid Man Frank Mills.
Well, you know, Frank Mills, as I quickly Google, you know what else he did that is very, very music specific?
What's that?
Well... he was also, sorry. Now I'm like, I'm not even sure if that's actually his name.
What if we just totally made that up?
Voice of cool, cool
man.
I'm pretty sure it's Frank.
Come on, internet, come through.
Jesus, this is so difficult. Frank Sims.
Oh, Frank Sims.
I'm so sorry. But it's about what I, but still, the rest of the story holds true. Frank Sims was not only the voice of the Kool-Aid Man, he's not dead, he's still alive, he's still presently with us, but he was also a background vocalist for a number of artists, and he was also a background vocalist for David Bowie.
Oh, wow.
On the Let's Dance album. He was the...
yeah, I mean, that's like some iconic background vocals.
And he went on tour with Bowie for the Sirius Moonlight tour. He was also, and because of that, because Nile Rodgers produced the David Bowie album Let's Dance, he then was called upon to work on another project with Nile Rodgers, the Madonna Like a Virgin album.
Wow.
And so this gentleman has background vocals across the Like a Virgin album, including Living in a Material World.
Yep,
like,
okay.
That's him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's him with, like, two other people. Then he later did background vocals for Billy Joel. It's amazing. Anyway.
Frank Sims.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, okay, so Justin Bieber versus One Direction. We thought it could go either way.
But
it looks like Justin Bieber is going to be number one on the Billboard 200 next week.
He pulled ahead.
He has taken the lead over One Direction. Justin Bieber's Purpose and One Direction's Made in the AM were both released last Friday, November 13th. Right now, according to industry forecasters, it appears that Bieber's Purpose will hit number one, and it'll start with perhaps 525,000 in equivalent album units.
Half a million, that's really good.
Yeah, and of that, because of course the Billboard 200 is the fancy equivalent unit measurement, of that sum, it could be 450,000 in pure album sales.
Wow.
Which would actually be Justin Bieber's biggest sales week.
There you go.
So, hey.
We wondered last week why.
We wondered last week.
Why one of these artists didn't flinch in this game of chicken for number one on the charts.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it sounds like both of them did better than they kind of ever have.
Yes.
And so...
Well, One Direction is not doing their best ever, but for Bieber, he's certainly doing... This is his best week yet.
So it's like, oh, actually all this conversation about the two of them coming out at the same time seems to have given a boost.
Which is what we surmised. You know, whenever you have like a big matchup with two albums that kind of share... an audience that is going to generate some interest. And certainly that's happening for this. Both of these albums were projected initially before release to do maybe like 300,000 in terms of just pure album sales. So clearly they both have bypassed that. As for One Direction, they could do over 475,000 in total units, of which 400 to 425,000 could be pure album sales. So it's not just like a runaway for Bieber, but he's far enough ahead where people feel confident that he's going to come out on top. Of course, anything can happen.
Anything could happen.
We're recording this on Monday. We still have 4 days left in the tracking week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So who knows?
Really, nobody loses here.
No one loses.
I mean, it seems like they're all selling a lot of albums.
Yeah, they're all making a heck of a lot of money.
They're splitting between four people now too, so they'll make more than they ever have before.
And you never know. As we've seen, just because you don't start at number one doesn't mean that you won't be number one later. Look at Chris Stapleton. Chris Stapleton, whose album came out in May. As I unplug a microphone, I think we're all still good. His album came out in May, but didn't hit number one until after the CMA Awards a week ago. His album holds on at number one this week on the Billboard 200. That's my segue. Chris's album Traveler holds at number one for a second week.
Yeah.
It did 124,000 equivalent album units in the week ending November 12th. That was down just 30% compared to his big, huge week the week before after the CMA Awards. Actually, that wasn't even the first. This is like the real first week after the CMAs.
Yeah, that makes sense since it was only like almost just over 24 hours the first week that he got number one. So,
and, you know, of course, as we said, either One Direction or Justin Bieber could have pushed up their album a week and easily beat Chris Stapleton.
Easily.
But nope, no one wanted to do that. Either one. I mean, even without them doing any promo, they still could have been number one.
Although, to be fair, One Direction are projected to be number one in their native UK.
True.
Those numbers just came out before we sat down. So
I do have to say, as a chart geek, it's sad to me to see a hot streak break.
Yeah.
But both artists are on a streak.
Yeah.
This will be Bieber's fifth consecutive number one debut. This would have been, of course, the week isn't over with, but if Bieber is number one, it'll be his fifth consecutive number one debut. If One Direction debuts at number one, it would be their fifth out of five debuts at number one. No group in history, aside from One Direction, has ever seen all four of their albums, their first four albums, all debut at number one. So they're already in the record books.
Yeah.
It's just, it's one of those things where it's a chart and it sometimes... Things are meant
to
not,
sometimes you could have the biggest sales week ever, but just be at number two.
Yeah.
It's just how it works.
Well, let's move on to something that is not Justin Bieber or One Direction related.
But it is about one of our favorites.
Hey, it's about Adele. Adele is still number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart.
Get used to us saying this for a while.
She's
about the album chart coming up very soon and about the Hot 100.
Yeah, her song Hello sold another 480,000 downloads. So, if people didn't know that Hello was out 3 weeks ago, they're still discovering it 3 weeks later.
My mom.
Right. But of course, as you've pointed out, there are friends of yours that are saying right now, I need to get that Adele album.
They're still trying
album.
To buy that album. It's not out yet,
still not
guys.
Out. Still not out.
But very soon, Friday.
Here's some fun stats on Hello. It actually hits number one on our radio songs chart. It jumps 6 to 1. It's up 37% in audience impressions. That is, I have a great stat in here and I don't want to screw it up. It gets to number one in only its fourth week, which is the quickest climb to number one in 22 years. This is on the radio songs chart, since Mariah Carey's Dream Lover reached the top in its fourth week on August 28, 1993. Here's the caveat. And since the radio songs chart was almost exclusively a pop radio chart in 1993, because way back in the day, it was basically, like, the Hot 100 was basically just a top 40-oriented chart.
Right.
And eventually, in December of 1998, we expanded the chart to include country radio, Latin radio, R&B, and so forth. So if we look at it just from December 1998, when we expanded the panel of radio stations to include everyone, this is
the quickest.
Yes.
The quickest to number one.
Which is crazy.
Notable.
But it's, yes, it's kind of notable.
A little notable.
Adele's album comes out on Friday, 25. Do you have any wild guesses on what you might think it'll do?
Well, since I made the world's most conservative guess when we first talked about this, I feel like I should just go crazy this time.
3 million!
Kind of do 3 million.
Can we go for three?
I don't think the 2 million is happening, but I do think I'm going 1.5.
Yeah, like Britney Spears currently has the record for the largest single week for a woman. I believe it was 1.32 million.
And I think that it could beat that.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I've got no real new forecast.
This is just a gut feeling.
It's just a gut feeling. Well, it's a gut feeling based upon what label sources have been saying right. for the past few weeks. Like, right. they feel like 1 million's in the bag. You know, 1.5 is doable. I think with Adele, anything is possible. So we'll obviously know more, a whole heck of a lot more about this the next time you hear the show.
Yeah.
And stay tuned to Billboard.com on Saturday. We'll try to have the first real forecast for what Adele could do in her first week.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's how quick we work.
After one day of sales, we're going to try to have something hot and fresh on Billboard.com. Speaking of which, this weekend, both Katie and I will be at the American Music Awards.
Yes.
I'll be on the red carpet and potentially backstage.
Awesome.
You'll be backstage in a press room.
Yep.
We'll be talking to folks.
We'll have people in the crowd, too. We're going to have...
Oh, that's right. We have people in the audience.
Yeah, we'll have the whole thing covered.
Yes, from top to bottom.
Top to bottom.
We'll have endless coverage on Billboard.com, as we do for most award shows.
Definitely tweet at me if you have any questions for people in the press room. And,
yes.
And at Keith, if you have any red carpet questions.
Yeah, I mean, I will try to talk to everybody.
Yeah, we will.
Last year...
Everyone might not try to talk to us, but we'll try to talk to everybody.
Who did we talk to last year? We talked to... it's one of those things where all red carpets are just a big blur.
I remember having Luke Bryan in the press room. I was really excited about that.
Yeah, I didn't get him backstage, though. I got Sam Smith. I got Imagine Dragons. I got some other folks. Wasn't last year?
It was Five Sauce? You had Five Sauce last year.
On the red carpet.
Okay, on the red carpet. Yeah, because they performed last year.
We got them on the carpet. They were probably like the biggest get on the carpet for me, but don't hold that against me because if I actually... it's like, no, you did talk to Madonna last year. I don't know who would say it like that. Anyway.
I'm holding my breath for J-Lo.
You know.
Post J-Lo.
What else has happened on the Hot 100? L. King... jumps into the top 10 with her first top 10 hit, X's and O's. It jumps 12 to 10. Gary Trust writes, the bluesy pop rock track jumps also 10 to 7 on the digital songs chart. It also increases in airplay. It holds at number 7 on radio songs, but it's up 4%. And also hits number 1 on our adult pop songs chart. This is one of those songs that has had a very long climb. I think it debuted on some of our airplay charts a year ago.
Yeah.
It's one of those songs that started out like adult alternative radio, like kind of like alternative rock-ish radio, and then eventually slowly migrated over.
Yeah.
And I think we've actually name-checked her on the podcast before. I think we had her in our soon-to-be hits feature, which we haven't been doing since Jason left. We may resuscitate that at some point in the future. But this is just one of those great success stories of a song and an artist that is really connected with people.
It's a cool song.
I like it.
It's like, and it totally fits into like a pop radio setting, even though it does have that rock edge. It's just, it's fun and it's witty. Yeah. I like the wordplay.
Yeah, the video is fun too.
I always like to tell people when I talk about Elle King about her famous father. Are you aware of her famous father?
Remind me who the famous father is.
Famous father is former SNL cast member Rob Schneider.
Yeah. That seems the most unlikely
of
famous
Hot
father.
Hot Chick and what else? What other? Deuce Bigelow,
male gigolo
fame. Yeah. So like, there you go. It's a weird tidbit to throw in. Just by the way, Elle King's dad is Rob Schneider.
Yeah. Well.
Share it with your friends.
Also happening in the news today, the Dixie Chicks announced that they are going on tour. Super stoked about this. Yes. I don't know how to pronounce this, but it's the DCXMMXVI World Tour.
That is a lot of Roman numerals.
I think it's just the Dixie Chicks 2016 in Roman numerals.
I don't like it.
World Tour starts June 1st in Cincinnati, June 1st, 2016. The tour will visit 40 cities in the U.S. and Canada. It is their first American tour since 2006.
It ends right here in Los Angeles.
At the Hollywood Bowl, next October, I believe. The last Dixie Chicks album was Taking the Long Way back in 2006. It, of course, went on to win the Grammy Award for Album of the Year, as well as a boatload of other Grammys. Have you seen the Dixie Chicks
live? I haven't.
Really?
Have you?
Yes.
Oh, where did you see them?
I saw them twice. I saw them, the first time I saw them actually was at, it was a special taping at the Kodak Theater, which is now the Dolby Theater, where the
Oscars are.
Yes, where the Academy Awards are at. It was recorded for a TV special called An Evening with the Dixie Chicks, and later turned into a home video. And they built this cool thing on the stage where they put in these like cool like boxes on the stage, kind of like very like elaborate like theater like Broadway show type boxes,
cool.
like. To put the audience onto the stage behind the chicks. So if you squint and you freeze frame it just in the right way, you might see me somewhere in the dark in the back.
Will you please do that for the Pop Shop listeners on Twitter?
And then the second time I saw them was actually in a proper concert setting. I saw them at the Pond in Anaheim, California.
Oh, yes, where the Ducks play.
In 2003, which was, of course, after... this was for the tour that came right after Natalie Maines, who's... the front woman for the group, made her comments about George Bush back earlier in 2003. March 10th, 2003, Natalie said at a show in London, by the way, London, England, she said, "Just so you know, we're on the good side with y'all. We do not want this war, this violence, and we're ashamed that the president of the United States is from Texas," referring to George Bush. After that, all heck broke loose.
They proceeded to get blacklisted by country radio.
But the interesting thing was their next tour had already sold out.
Oh, so too late. You already bought your ticket.
You're going to come see the show.
Yeah.
So that was the show I saw. And I think we don't need to go into the whole fallout. That's what happened since the Dixie Chicks. But know that that is the catalyst for what has happened in the past 10 years, where the Dixie Chicks only released one more new studio album, which was not embraced by country radio. It did win a slew of Grammy Awards, and it did sell okay.
Yep.
But they stopped doing new music together.
I mean, not to get into like the politics of it, but I feel like their comeback, I feel like they'll be welcomed back into the fold more so. But
I think
we'll see.
So.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Natalie did her own album called Mother, I believe, like 2 or 3 years ago, maybe. It was like a sort of a rock-oriented album. And then Emily and Marty of the group, Emily and Marty McGuire, have done their own albums under Courtyard Hounds as their own act. It's a duo. And the group, the Dixie Chicks, have done some spot dates here and there occasionally. They opened for the Eagles a few years ago on like a handful of dates. But they haven't done like an American tour.
I'm excited.
It'll be 10 years. So they are really great live.
I'm a new country fan. So like I wasn't like into it when they were around and big. And now that I like have kind of come into the country world and... retroactively finding out about their music, I love them, and I'm really excited to see them live finally.
They're great musicians, they're great singers, their harmonies are wonderful, they're so witty, and you know they can count fans like the likes of Taylor Swift, Earlier this year, if you saw any of Taylor's staple shows here in Los Angeles, she did like, what, six shows or something?
Yeah.
One of the shows, you know, of course, every show she brings out, not every show, but most shows she brings out a special guest. At one of the shows, she brought out Natalie Maines of the Dixie Chicks, and this is how she introduced her. She said, "If not for this woman," this is Taylor speaking, "if not for this woman and her band, I wouldn't have known that you could be quirky and fun and yourself and outspoken and brave and real. I wouldn't have dreamed the things that I dreamed, and I wouldn't be standing on this stage today. The song we're about to sing was my go-to talent show song. I've sung it probably 7,000 times in my life." And then Natalie Maines came out, and they sang Goodbye, Earl, which is a great song.
Yes. Great video. Dennis Franz.
Yes. NYPD Blue. And that song actually peaked at number 13 on the Hot Country Songs chart. It's one of 26 entries for the group on the chart. And they notched 14 top 10s, and six of those were number ones.
You know, with our recent Billboard Greatest of All Time cover that we did, we interviewed a lot of artists and asked them for their picks for greatest, and we interviewed Little Big Town and asked them their top five country groups.
Ooh,
and
I bet you I was going to say.
The Dixie Chicks were name-checked there.
Wow.
And it was the first time I'd like thought of the Dixie Chicks in a long time when I heard their name last week.
I mean, you can when you think of acts like Little Big Town or Lady Antebellum, like they all have like a direct
to the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah,
100%.
And it's just, you know, there's not a whole heck of a lot of country groups.
Yeah, Maddie and Tay probably love them as well, I would say.
Well, there'll be more. Hopefully, maybe this means there'll be some more music.
I hope so.
From them, that would be amazing. Maybe this is just, you know, they're seeing how things go and seeing how they're embraced or welcomed back. But now it's time for our interview with Tori Kelly.
Yay.
We actually talked to Tori a while back. I wouldn't say like forever ago, but a little while back, a number of weeks ago. And we did a fun 15 fast questions with Tori Kelly. It's a modified version of our fishbowl game. But this time she did not use the fishbowl. I just asked her questions.
You just spouted off questions.
I just had a list of questions. It's much like a normal interview where you ask questions of someone.
But quicker.
Some background on Tori. She has an amazing voice. And I think if you've seen her on any award show in the past year, you've been blown away by her.
Yes.
On the Billboard Awards, on the, wasn't she on the VMAs as well?
She did the VMAs. And then she just did the EMAs too with Andrea Bocelli last month. Yeah.
No pressure. We're pairing you up with Andrea Bocelli.
Yeah, and she totally held her own.
Her voice is just crazy.
Yeah.
And she's really super nice.
Yep.
I have to say. And I don't like know her outside of, you know, press settings, but she seems very genuine.
And best hair in the game.
My goodness, her hair is so good.
I love her hair.
Her hair is magical. Her debut full-length studio album, Unbreakable Smile, hit number 2 on the Billboard 200 chart earlier this year, and it launched 2 top 20 hit singles on the pop songs chart, Nobody Love and Should Have Been Us. She just released her new single, Hollow, which is on the verge of debuting on the pop songs chart in the next week or two. We asked Tori about working with Max Martin, what was the first album that she bought, and if her manager, Scooter Braun, ever sleeps. Scooter also manages Justin Bieber and Ariana Grande, among many others.
Spoiler alert, no.
Spoiler alert. So anyway, here's our interview with Tori Kelly. Fill up my cup, 'cause I'm having. Welcome, Tori Kelly, to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. I have your shoes, actually.
Really?
I have those, yeah.
They're Converse. They're blue Converse without laceless.
Laceless
Converse. Those are actually the best ones.
They are. They're really comfortable.
They're actually super comfortable.
I miss mine.
I like yours, too. Are those Converse? No.
These aren't Converse, no.
They're almost like Converse. This is not what we're supposed to be talking about.
It's the best intro ever. Yeah, I know. Don't lie.
No, this is perfect audio podcast fodder. We're actually going to do 15 fun, fast questions with Tori Kelly. It is a totally patented, trademarked game. It's not.
Okay.
But I came up with these questions. Some of them are about music. Some of them are light, fun things. Not about music. I will read you the questions. They have short answers.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Number one. What's it like working with Max Martin?
It is amazing, and he's a legend, so I was nervous at first, but then he made it not that, because he's, like, the best.
Because he's Max Martin. Number 2, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Oh, man, I love where I live. SoCal, forever.
That's good.
Or, I don't know.
You don't need to back it up if something, if you...
Japan, maybe? Right. Yeah.
That's fine. Number 3, does your manager, Scooter Braun, ever sleep?
That is undetermined. because
I have a doppelganger robot somewhere.
I ask myself that every day. That guy's a champ.
That's how he's able to do what he does. Number four, do you like surprise parties?
I do. I've never had a surprise party for myself, but I just love surprises.
So people, entourage listening, they should do that.
or not. No.
Number five, what was the last concert you saw that does not include like a festival that you played at?
Last concert I saw, dang, the first one, that this might not be the last one I saw, but the one that's like screaming in my mind.
Don't worry,
right,
no one's going to hold it against you. No fan's going to be like, no, oh my God, you missed that one. You were there. I saw you.
Yeah, no, it was the like one of my all-time favorite, probably one of the best concerts I've ever seen. It was Pink. She killed it.
Number six, what's the first thing you notice about people?
I notice if they are nice people or not nice people.
That's good. That's a good thing. Number seven, do you have a favorite holiday song?
Favorite holiday song?
I'm not going to make you sing it. I'm just asking for a title.
So many good ones. I feel like Christmas music in general is just amazing.
It's almost time for Christmas music to start again. It's okay if you don't have an answer. Okay. Number eight, would you ever want to hold a public office?
Hold a public office?
Like, you know, run for office, like senator, representative, that sort of thing?
No. Not my thing.
Not your thing.
I'll stick to music.
That's all right. Yeah. Number nine, what was the first album you bought?
First album I bought, I want to say, is the very first NSYNC album.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Number 10, who are some of your favorite YouTubers? Not asking for a favorite, just some of your favorites.
Okay.
I saw you on the Miranda Sings one.
Yes, Miranda Sings definitely in there. I would, Pentatonix, I could consider YouTubers.
And two of them have their own offspring. Super crew.
Tim De La Ghetto, AJ Raphael, Jeremy Passion. I feel like I'm just naming all my friends now.
All your friends are your favorite YouTubers. All right, we'll go on. Number 11, has Ed Sheeran ever given you career advice? You don't have to tell me what it was, but has he?
He actually has, yeah. I don't think people realize how much of a genius businessman he is. Like, on the business side of things, he's actually really smart, too. So, yeah, he's definitely given little words of encouragement here and there.
I would love some of Ed Sheeran's words of wisdom. Anything would help. Number 12, who are some of your favorite songwriters?
Favorite songwriters I got to work with on my album. Claude Kelly, for sure, one of my favorites. I'm really loving James Bay right now in his songwriting.
He's here somewhere.
He is.
Yeah.
Emily King is also someone I'm really loving right now.
13, we're almost done. We only have 15. Number 13, do you have any nicknames? And if they're personal and you don't want to tell me, that's okay too.
You know, it's funny. Tori is actually considered a nickname because my real name is Victoria.
Oh.
Yeah, so everybody calls me by my nickname.
Oh, all right. No one's calling you Vicky, right?
No.
That might be weird. Number 14, do you believe in ghosts? See, we're all over the map here.
That's really fun. I don't think I believe in ghosts. Okay. Yeah.
Not like spooky ghosts.
No, but, yeah. I believe, not to say people haven't seen things.
Right.
I think like spiritual realms, for sure, real angels, demons.
Yes.
Yeah, if we want to go there.
No, that's where I was kind of going. I'm like, well, since what we, you know.
Yeah, but ghosts, I don't know.
All right. Yeah. Last one, number 15, what's the best thing about being a musician and entertainer?
Oh my gosh, performing live is one of the best feelings ever. I'm going to go with that.
So people should go see Tori live because it's the best, really good feeling. And thank you so much, Tori, for coming to the Pop Shop Podcast.
Bring the conversation back to us.
It was lovely to speak to you, and much success with the new single, Hollow. You know what time it is now?
Oh, what time is it, Keith?
I like the way I just like, you know what time it is? It's another time for time. It's time for the chart set of the week.
Yeah, woohoo!
Yay. All right, so this week, in 1971, Isaac Hayes' Shaft. Can you dig it? Hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. The single, composed and performed by Hayes for the film of the same name, topped the list on November 20th and spent 2 weeks in total atop the tally. The movie's score album, of course also by Hayes, topped the Billboard 200 chart like 2 weeks before the single hit number one, so he hit the top of both charts.
Man.
All things Shaft happening that time of year. Isaac Hayes received 2 Academy Award nominations for his Shaft music, original dramatic score, and original song. He won the latter award. It was one of those rare times where you have a huge pop hit get nominated for Best Original Song at the Academy Awards and actually win.
Yeah.
We've seen many examples in the past few decades where huge pop hits written for films just don't even get nominated.
Yeah.
And that's why it was so amazing that he was able to take this, you know, Shaft song to number one and also score an Academy Award for
yes.
it. Hayes also won 2 Grammy Awards for Shaft for Best Instrumental Arrangement and Best Original Score Written for a Motion Picture or Television Special.
Yeah.
You love those Grammy Award categories. You know, Best Polka Arrangement for a poster. You know,
God, for instance.
I love you, Recording Academy. I but, you know, it's said with levity. Shaft was Hayes' biggest single and his only song to visit the top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100. Isaac Hayes, who passed away in 2008, might also be familiar to a different generation of people from his role as Chef on South Park.
Yes.
And believe it or not, he actually scored a number one hit in the UK back in 1998 as Chef with the song Chocolate Salty Balls. P.S. I love you. It hit number one on the official UK singles chart. The track was from the album Chefade, the South Park album.
I love everything you're saying.
Chocolate Salty Balls. That was, and I remember it was one of those songs where it should have charted in America, but because they didn't release it as a commercially available single or something, it couldn't chart. But Chef Aid charted, the album charted.
Yeah.
So basically it was one of those things where if you really wanted the song, you had to go buy the album.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, for a few weeks there, it was this fun novelty hit that became a fluke hit for
That's
Isaac
incredible.
Hayes.
What a career.
So there you go. This week in 1971, Isaac Hayes hit number one with Shaft.
Shaft. We didn't even practice this great musical arrangement.
No, we didn't. That's all I got, I think. Have I missed anything?
That's
Katie?
All. That's it.
That's it. That's it. Do you want to go back and talk about Frank Mills yeah. Sims again?
Yes. More Kool-Aid Man, please.
Oh, yeah. I'm a material boy living in a material world. Modern love.
He also did background vocals for Billy Joel later that decade.
Oh, wow. Man.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, he did pretty well for himself.
This goes out to you, Frank Sims.
This goes out to you, Frank Sims. Or
Next
Mills.
Next week's guest on the Pop Shop Podcast, Frank Sims.
Who knows? Katie, do you have any parting words?
Oh, no. I'm going to go look up all of Frank Sims' discography now.
Man, falling down the rabbit hole with Katie and Keith. Well, should we go out on, I guess, Shaft by Isaac Hayes?
Obviously,
yes.
Shaft.
Frank, for all we know, you could be doing background vocals on that one, too.
I think he did some on Chocolate Salty Balls, actually.
Okay, that's it, and we'll see you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Who is a man that would risk his neck for his brother, man? Can you dig it?